John chapter 17 tonight. John chapter 17. When people refer to the Lord's Prayer, they're usually referring to in Luke, where they ask the Lord to teach them to pray, or they're referring in Matthew, where Jesus gave an exemplary prayer. But this is where Jesus actually prays and talks to the Lord on behalf of those people who had trusted him and on the part of those people who would trust him in time to come. And so I guess I better get to the right book if I'm going to have it reading right. John chapter 17. Listening and learning from Jesus praying. You know, when Jesus talked to the Father, I don't think he did it mincing words or wasting time. I believe he had an agenda, and he spoke to his Father about that agenda, about what he desired. And of course, he was not inhibited by the flesh and the sin of the flesh like you and I are. But when he talked to the Lord, it probably would be good if we would bend our ear and listen and learn as he prayed. And so let's do that tonight as we begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 17, just after we pray. My Father, I thank you tonight that you have allowed us to come into a very special time, a very private time, a time when the Lord Jesus spoke to his Heavenly Father. Lord, not distracted by who might hear, not distracted by who might learn or gain understanding. Lord, he just talked very, very simply, very openly to you. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn from that tonight. We would add tonight, Lord, Miss Hazel Roby to the prayer list and ask you to make her well. And then, Father, forgive me that I did not earlier mention the good turnout last night in Bryan's Road. And Lord, I pray that people would know and understand that involvement is one thing to be a successful community. And Father, it's also true of churches that we must be involved if we want to see the things accomplished that you want to see done. Help us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. They have kept thy word. And now, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast loved me, or sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the name, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Praise the Lord. It pleases me much as I look over this portion of Scripture. There's a number of things that come out. In verse number 9, we find a different attitude of Jesus than what the world portrays him at, maybe even different than what you thought. In verse number 9, he said, I pray for them. That's the believers, people that are saved, the disciples, the ones that are following him, the ones that have trusted him, the ones that have paid a price to be with him. He said, I pray for them. And then notice the next words. I pray not for the world. The way the world today looks at it, you'd think that all Jesus did was prayed for the world. Jesus said here, we stooped in and stepped up, and the Holy Ghost of God allowed us to hear the Lord Jesus say, Father, I'm not praying for the world. Different than what we sometimes would think. But in verse number 20, I see something that thrills me very much. Verse number 9, he says, I pray for them. And then verse number 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You can write your name right there. If you're saved tonight, you're saved through the word of the people that Jesus was praying for. Through their testimony and their witness and their taking care of the Bible and making sure we had the Bible today and all those things, missions and the church work and so forth. If you're saved tonight, you're right there. In fact, as I wrote on the edge of my Bible, I said, me too, !! I'm glad Jesus prayed for me. I find great solace in the fact that Jesus prayed for me. As I examine this prayer, I learned that there are some things that Jesus did in his life and his ministry. And in this prayer, he rehearses some things that he did while he was ministering in the world. Now, if indeed I am to be like the Lord Jesus, and I am, I ought to want to be like him, then I too ought to be able to say, I have done the things that Jesus said he's done as much as is humanly possible. There's some things he says he did here that I can't possibly do. But there are some things that Jesus said I have done. And we want to look at those things tonight and see if we can pray like Jesus prayed. And if not, why not? In verse number 4, Jesus said, I have glorified thee. I have glorified thee. We ought to have a desire to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to have a desire for people to look at Jesus and get a good representation of what he is. I've said many times that I think God receives a bad rap sometimes because of his kids. We do things that cause people to see a different attitude about Jesus, have a different opinion about the Lord Jesus than what is fair. And so we too ought to desire to glorify God, and we ask ourselves the question, how? I've thought for a long time that God will always answer any honest question with the Word of God. And so we ask the question, how can I glorify God? Matthew 5 and verse number 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So if I'm going to glorify God, then I ought to have some good works that I'm doing on a regular basis. Maybe not even the same good work, but doing good works that people might see my good work. Not in order to be seen, but those that do see would glorify my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, I've glorified you. If I'm going to be like Him, I need to glorify Him. And so the Bible testifies I can do that with my good works. In John chapter 15 and verse number 8, the Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And so I can glorify God by bearing much fruit, the Bible says. Now, somebody says, well, let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. No. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's not my fruit. The fruit of a peach tree is a peach. The fruit of an apple tree is an apple. The fruit of a Christian is a Christian. And Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And so I believe with all my heart that God wants us to be busy trying to win people to Christ, talk to people about Christ, sow the seed so that folk can be born again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, the Bible says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, I hear people say, well, you know, I don't serve God so much in the spirit, but in the flesh, but I serve Him in the spirit. Well, Jesus said here that we're to glorify Him in our body. The fact is, in writing to the church at Corinth, Paul said that our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so once we're saved, that spirit's alive and the spirit's an important one. So God starts out with that. He said we're supposed to glorify Him with our spirit, with our soul, and with our body. And so here the Bible testifies that we glorify God in our body, in our spirit. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 30, it says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you ever stop to think when you're out eating a hamburger, how you eat that hamburger is either bringing glory to God or dishonor? Whether you eat or you drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse number 4, I have glorified thee. And so maybe we ought to stop and ask ourselves the question, have I glorified the Lord? Did my life today glorify the Lord? What I said, what I didn't say, the way I said it, where I went, where I didn't go, the purpose of me going, what I did while I was there, whether you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So as I bent down this morning again and listened to Jesus pray, He said, I've glorified God. Well, then we look at verse number 4 again. He said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now that's not the work which He gave somebody else to do. Have you ever noticed that sometimes children are more concerned about what someone else was told to do than they are about what they were told to do? Children are quick to point out what another person was supposed to do that he's not doing. So are baby Christians. We'll have a dozen things we're supposed to be doing and not doing, but we'll see one thing somebody else not doing and we want to capitalize on that one thing. Jesus said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So I ask you tonight, are you doing what God gave you to do? You say, well, I don't know what it is. Have you asked Him? Have you qualified your life so that He could talk to you and tell you what He wanted you to do? Jesus said we need to be busy finishing the work that God has asked us to do. And of course, In order to finish it, we've got to start it, don't we? And so the Bible testifies that we're to do the work. Jesus is a finisher. Have you ever noticed that Jesus is a finisher? You know, it's said in the scriptures that Jesus is a carpenter, and I guess he would be a finished carpenter because he's a finisher. He's a finisher. In John chapter 5 and verse number 36, speaking about finishing his work, listen to what Jesus said. I have a greater witness than that of John. Now, he's talking about John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born of a woman. John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit of God before he was born. John the Baptist. Think of a great witness he was. The whole nation of Israel turned out to watch John baptize. The wicked world wanted John the Baptist. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. He's too influential. Get rid of him. He is a great man, John the Baptist was. But Jesus said, I have a greater witness than that of John. Chapter 5, verse 36, he says, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Jesus was given works to finish. He wasn't given works to get them halfway done and put them up on the shelf. One of the greatest things I had to combat after I got saved was quitting. Well, I was a professional quitter. I've talked about wrestling with cigarettes and one thing or another, and I did. I wrestled with those for a long time. But one of the greatest things I had to conquer in the power of God was the idea of quitting. Quitting, just getting started and quitting, getting started and quitting, getting started and quitting. I think it was something like 9 jobs I had the year before I got saved, in the calendar year before I got saved, 9 different jobs. Because it was easier to tell the boss to take a hike than it was to do what he said to do. One thing Christians ought to learn how to do is quit quitting. If we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to be able to pray like Jesus prayed, he said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We need to be people who also are finishers. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He didn't enjoy the cross, he endured the cross. And just because something gets a little bit tough doesn't mean we have to quit. He says he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is a finisher. In John 19 and verse number 30, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he's on the cross, dying for you and I. He's on the cross, he's dying. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Finisher. Jesus, John chapter 17, Jesus prayed and said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Paul, very successful missionary and preacher. Success, the success of the Apostle Paul encapsulated a thing called finishing. Paul didn't start very much that he didn't finish. And if he didn't finish it, it wasn't because he was lazy or indifferent or disinterested anymore. It was because he was restrained from doing that. In Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 22, Paul says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So you see, ordinary people, you say, well, Jesus finished because Jesus was God in human flesh, and certainly he was that. But here we see Paul, who was a normal, he said he was the chiefest of sinners, saved by the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul was a finisher. And not only did he complete the job that God gave him to do, but he did it with joy. He was excited. When he saw the finish line, he just ran harder. This is almost done. It's almost over. It's almost complete. He didn't do like the tortoise and the hare, you know, get a little bit ahead and then lay down and take a nap. He continued. He finished his job, and he finished it with joy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Oh, how we need to be finishers today. Have people quitting on a lot of different things. Promised God they were going to read the Bible through this year. We're going into the middle of November, actually towards the last of November, and some of them probably haven't gotten through the book of Genesis yet. Promised God we're going to spend time every day in prayer. And unless we prayed at a meal, we haven't done that either, probably. What about that list of people we were going to talk to about the Lord Jesus? Oh, we started, we made the list, at least in our mind. But did we do it? Paul said we've got to be beginners and we have to be finishers. In verse number 6, Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I have manifested thy name. The word manifested there means simply to make real, to make actual, to make visible, to make believable. So Jesus said, one of the things I worked at, Father, is I wanted to make you believable to the world. I wanted the world to look at my life and say, you know, there's something behind this man's life. I wanted them to watch me. If they watched me, if they put their eyes on me, I wanted to manifest you. I wanted to glorify you. I wanted to make you look real and actual and believable. And I wonder sometimes if maybe we don't fail in that area. Jesus makes manifest. Here's how Jesus makes himself manifest and manifests the Father. It's called obedience. Obedience. In John chapter 14, verse number 22, the Bible says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Jesus wants us to make him manifest. Wants us to manifest him. Jesus wants our obedience to him to point people to him and say he's the real deal. He's not just some nursery rhyme thing. He's not just something your mama told you when she wasn't telling you about the devil that was going to take you to hell and trying to make you be good or try to talk to you about being good. Jesus is real. And you know that and I know that, but the world doesn't know that. Especially in the world in which we're living nowadays. And then the more difficult the time, or the more difficult the task, the more important it is for us to be obedient. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 8, the Bible says, We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. The tougher the job gets, the more difficult the circumstance we're in, the more important it is that we listen to what the Lord says and just obey Him. Read what the Bible has to say in that circumstance, in that situation, and then just do what He says to do. And in doing so, we can say, I have manifested thy name. In verse number 8, He says, I have given unto them the words which thou hast given me. And down in verse number 14, He said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Let's think about these two things for just a minute. Jesus didn't give them philosophies. He didn't give them traditions or good advice. He didn't give them the latest tip from whoever the latest guru is on radio or TV. He didn't give them a thought that he thought might help them. But he gave them the word, and he gave them the words of the Father. In our witnessing to people, I fear sometimes we think we're witnessing if we invite people to church. That's probably better than nothing, but you know, people can go to church all their life and not go to heaven. I think Judas would be a pretty good example of that. He walked with the Lord Jesus Christ for over 3 years, and tonight he's weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth in a place called hell. And I'm not glad about that, and I know the Lord's not glad about that. But the Bible says that when we talk to people, we need to give them the Word of God. I hadn't been saved very long, and my daddy's sister came to visit us. And she was a very anxious lady, very, very nervous, very opinionated, of course. I mean, she was born Sutton. Why wouldn't she be opinionated? But she struggled with a lot of things. And she asked me a question or two, and I answered her with Bible verses. And she said, "You remind me of so-and-so." And she gave me the man's name, and it didn't mean anything to me. It was somebody that had worked for her dad on the ranch years before that, and he was a Christian, and of course, as part of his attire, he had a vest, had pockets in the vest. And instead of carrying a package of roll your own, he carried a little Bible, just a little Bible, in one of those vest pockets. And someone would cuss or something, he'd pull out that little Bible that she said you'd had to have a microscope to read. And he'd open it up and he'd start talking to them about what the Bible said about cursing. When somebody said something about drink, he'd pull it out and say, "Hey, let me give you a word here." And he'd go and she said, it amazed me at how much Bible he knew, because she said, "I know he's not riding down the road on this horse that you couldn't read it if you're sitting at a kitchen table reading this Bible." Have we made any attempt lately to put any of God's Word in our heart so that we could share it with people? Oh, we're quick, and I'm as guilty as anybody. We're quick to give them our opinion, but chances are your opinion or my opinion is not going to win them to Jesus. But God's Word will. And so we can give them all the philosophies and traditions and good advice we want to give them. We can give them the tip of the day if we want to, but we could even win a lot of arguments, probably. But if we win the argument and lose the soul, we're behind. We've lost. Listen to what the Bible says. In John chapter 15, verse number 3, he says, "Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." When you find somebody that's struggling, they come to you and say, "Listen, I just can't have victory. I just don't know what I'm going to do. This thing is eating me up. What am I going to do?" There's a Bible verse that might help them. "You're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Jesus said, "I've given them the words which thou gavest me. I've given them thy word." There's a portion of God's word we can give them. "You're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." How about John 17 and verse 17? We read that a while ago. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Somebody who's having trouble being set apart and staying apart for the service of the Lord. The word of God will help there. Maybe we ought to give them that. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, a familiar verse. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so we need to have the Word of God in our heart and in our mind so that we don't have to run to the car and call the preacher and say, "Preacher, what do we believe about this?" Or we don't have to wait till we get the Bible, go home and get the Bible and go back, which is better than not going back. But we ought to be able to answer people, talk to people, visit with people about the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse number 18 says, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. You were begotten by the Word of truth. You didn't get saved because someone just told you they got saved. If you're saved, you were won to Jesus by the Word of God. No man comes any other way. James says, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible is the only incorruptible seed there is, other than the Holy Spirit of God and the Father and the Lord Jesus. They're incorruptible. If we're going to win them to the Lord, they need to have the incorruptible Word of God. And then Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse number 12, the Bible says, for the Word of the Lord is quick and powerful. See, that book's not dead. We're not having to give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to this book. It's alive. It's quick. We're not having to feed it vitamin B12. It's already powerful. It's already energized. It's already living. The Bible says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, sometimes when you're visiting with someone and they have a problem and they're not really coming clean with the problem, they want you to help them, but they won't come clean with it. If you just start quoting Bible verses, God can lead you through the Bible, and you can give them a Bible verse that'll just bring them under great conviction and maybe bring them to a place of change. Jesus said, Father, Father, I have given them the words which Thou gavest me. I have given them Thy word. So to whom on this day, this 20th day of November 2019, to whom did you give a Bible verse to today? To whom did you share a scripture with today? Did you send one in a text? Surely you text someone today, probably. Did you share a Bible verse? When you're on the telephone, did you say, oh, by the way, think on this? In that email that you sent, or that bill that you paid. You know, if right down by the dollar amount you write a Bible verse, I guarantee you they'll see it. So that we can say like Jesus said. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I've glorified Thee. I've finished the work Thou gavest me to do. I have manifested Thy name, and I have given them Thy words and word. I wonder if we could pray that prayer tonight. If we're like Jesus, we should be able to. Let's bow our heads, please.